God, may only your word be heard. Amen. Actually, this is the spot that glows, isn't it? When I was a child, I went to Sunday school every Sunday. And I remember that there was a picture on the wall in our Sunday school room that had Jesus surrounded by children. And it was not one of those gross pictures of Jesus and children. You think, oh, that's not the Jesus I want to be around. This Jesus was a very cool Jesus. Kind of looked like a surfer Jesus, like your cool uncle who would tell you great stories. And it was clear that the children sitting around drew rapt attention. And I still remember that picture quite vividly as something that I felt like I was that child. I was in this circle of people that loved me and took care of me and made me know that I was beloved and I belonged. And that was such a good feeling. Somewhere along the line, I lost that feeling about church and about life. And that's a common thing. A lot of us lose that feeling. As we grow, we are taught that the real world is not like that. You need to really scrap and claw to get ahead. You need to compete, or at least keep up with the Joneses. That if you don't, you will lose out. It's all about being better, maybe even better than you were before, better than yourself. You can self-compete with ourselves. But the upshot is that we end up re-scripting life so that it is not enough and we don't belong unless we do something more than we're doing. And it's this kind of vicious circle that never ends. Welcome to the adult world we have created. And that's a very old, old story. It's as old as the Bible. It shows up all over the place. And it certainly shows up in today's story in the gospel in a kind of a tragicomic way, in the way that it's told. So the disciples are walking down the road. You can see that they're pretty animated about something. Jesus has just been dropping some pretty heavy sermon teaching on them. And when they get to where they were, to where they're going, Jesus says, "So what were you talking about on the road?" And everybody looks at the floor, and they're silent. They're busted. Because they're arguing, and not just about anything, but about who was the greatest. What an adult thing to do. What a childish thing to do. And so he does this really radical, beautiful thing of pulling a child into the center and saying, in a sense, just stop it. This is what you are to welcome, become, and embrace. There's something that he's doing at several levels here. So, we modern people might think, oh, isn't that sweet? He's taking such innocence and purity and putting it in the circle. He's actually doing something very different. He's not focusing on innocence, he's focusing on insignificance. In the first century, children were little more than property. They were your labor pool, they were social security, they were your insurance. Sometimes they were even sold into servitude to pay your debts. So he's reaching for something that is the opposite of what the disciples are thinking is the most important thing, saying, you're going the wrong way. Repent. It's another one of those, you don't have a lot of time to do this. Centering exactly as last week, we heard about the Syrophoenician woman, this double not belonger, saying, no, center the marginal. Look here. If you can see God here, you can see God everywhere. Maybe even yourself. And if you can't see God here, you won't see God anywhere. And certainly not yourself. And certainly not your neighbor. That's largely the world we've created. One where we can't find God anywhere, even ourselves. And so we'll pretend that we are that much more than, as a hope of somehow getting something to stand on. Jesus says, oh, says it explicitly, whoever welcomes one like this welcomes not even me, but the one who sent me. This is where you will find God. This is where you will find abundance. This is where the world will be lit up. So it's not about children per se. It's about all those insignificant things that we're not paying attention to as our vision gets more and more tunneled to say, oh, I gotta work harder, earn more, be more, do more, not enough, you know, just that. How do we bring our vision out to where God's is? Well, see everything. See God everywhere. This is a kind of thing that will change our lives. And yet, it's something that we carry with us. So, our modern understanding of children, let's add that to it, because Jesus is well aware of that. There is no one more curious than a child. There is no greater explorer in the world than a child, an infant. There aren't any no's yet. There aren't any self-limitations or other limitations. There is a kind of essence. We can see the divine in the child. Two friends of ours have just had a baby, and they keep sending us these little pictures and videos, and oh, wow, just wow, you can see it. There's wide open possibility in that face. They're not comparing, they're not competing. They have a lot to teach us. We certainly are teaching them immediately how to compete. That's where they're getting it. And this is what Jesus was calling out of his disciples. That kind of both and, the curiosity and the willingness to find it everywhere, especially at the edges. And I love that this scripture has found us the day after we gathered as a parish in our all-parish gathering to listen deeply to what God is calling us to do and to be in this next chapter of our lives. I think it gives us a kind of oracle, a way to listen. And like children, that kind of curiosity and explorational chutzpah. And it also gives us that same kind of Jesus message of look to the edges, look to the margins, don't get tunnel vision. What else might you not be seeing? How to broaden awareness. That's a wonderful practice. That real curiosity is something I felt like I heard as the groups reported back. It was wonderful to hear the kind of things that were coming up. You know, wonderment. I wonder if, and maybe what if, you know, what if thinking is great childlike thinking. So pray for the vestry this coming month as we start to listen more deeply and digest and not be too adult, be mature but not too grown up, and keep listening with that kind of childlike openness and curiosity and wonderment. And keep sharing what you have, what's bubbling up for you. And I invite you into a prayer practice this week or this month that might unlock even more, which is, as Jesus said, to become as a child, said that in Matthew's version, but to check in or pray with your inner child. What I mean by that is, old spiritual Christian practice of imagining yourself into the story here. Imagine Jesus taking you as a child, who you are now, but child version of you, into the center of the circle, and just looking at you. And looking at you not with judgment, but with just regard, seeing your wholeness and your goodness, seeing God in you. And then asking you, so, where should we go today? What have you always wanted to try? What do you love most? I wonder who needs our help today? Essentially, those were the questions we were asking yesterday. But listen to it as the child that Jesus has put in the center of the circle. What comes up? How do you answer? These are wonderful imaginative experiences because I almost guarantee something will come up. It may even surprise you.
Because that
lives within all of us, that child of God. In the end, that is the greatest gift we will ever receive. Is to discover that we and everyone and everything belongs to God. Jesus very specifically welcomed and hung out with the wrong people. The Syrophoenician woman from last week, the insignificant children from today, the rock-headed disciples like Peter who don't get it. As a sign, to say, this is where God is, in the insignificance, then God is there, and there, and there, and there, and there, and you, and you, and you, and me. Everything belongs. And God welcomes everyone without exception. That is the greatest gift we will ever receive, and it is the greatest, perhaps only gift we have to give. Let's walk with that as children, childlike, and listen to what the Spirit is saying to the people.